Welcome back, everybody. Today is Good Friday, and this is our final video for the Lenten series.
Today is one of the most solemn, if not the most solemn day of the year, where we fix our hearts and minds upon the attention of the crucified Christ. We want you to know that this is the last video that we're going to do of the Lenten video series. We'll have another video coming out on Wednesday, but for our purposes and our journey, this will be the last one. So let's fix our hearts on Jesus today.
Do you fight the cross? What does he gain who refuses the cross? He increases its weight. But he who embraces it and bears it with patience lightens its weight, and the weight itself becomes a consolation. For God abounds with grace to all those who carry the cross with goodwill in order to please him. By the law of nature, there is no pleasure in suffering. But divine love, when it reigns in a heart, enables it to take delight in its sufferings. There's a couple, two little things that stood out to me in that. One was that by law of nature, there is no pleasure in suffering. And I just think about our world today, how it's like any kind of discomfort we try to avoid, we try to appease, we try to just get rid of anything that is uncomfortable or painful or not pleasing to people. So it reminded me of the story of this woman that I knew. She was expecting, I think, her seventh child, and she ended up miscarrying the baby, but the baby had to be delivered at the hospital. She said, "Janelle, I didn't take any kind of pain medication because I needed to feel the pain of losing that child so that I could unite it with Jesus's pain on the cross." And I thought that was so beautiful, that she would allow herself to experience that pain and unite it to Jesus's suffering. Because we know as Christians that there is value in suffering.
Yeah, in fact, one of the most tragic things in life is when people can't find meaning in their pain. Mm-hmm. And it leads to really despair. But Jesus has transformed suffering. By dying on the cross, he takes upon himself the consequence of sin. And then every trial, every cross we have in life can be transformed by his grace when we unite it to Jesus. That's the key part. And some might think, well, how do I do that? By an act of the will. We're going through a difficult time. It's uncomfortable. It might be something physically within our body, a weight, you know, like an illness. Or maybe it's a mental struggle, fear, worry, anxiety, whatever it might be, a situation that's uncomfortable. And you just say, "Jesus, I give this to you." And then that act is redemptive. It can bring consolation to Jesus. If you say, "Jesus, I give you this for out of love for thee," brings great consolation to a suffering heart. And it can win great grace for ourselves. But St. Alphonsus's point is when we fight the cross, when we fight that suffering, the suffering actually becomes worse. In my mind, particularly, because then it has no meaning. Mm-hmm. We think, well, this is useless. Why am I going through this? And that's a terrible kind of suffering. I spoke for a parish mission this Lent for my own parish. And part of one of the presentations was meditating upon the Passion of Jesus and Simon of Cyrene on the way of the cross. And I want you to think about Simon, because he's watching Jesus suffer. He's maybe a passerby. He just got curious about what's going on there. What's going on with all this noise? And he's coming into the city. And it seems like he's at the wrong place at the wrong time. And then he's forced to carry the cross. He's forced. He didn't go willingly. Have you ever found yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time? And all of a sudden, something happens to you? Oh, if I hadn't been here, this would have not happened to me. Simon could have been thinking the same thing. Had I just kept to my own business, this would have not happened to me. Now he's forced. We have the privilege of looking in to see him, but carrying the cross of Jesus. But for him, he's wrong place, wrong time, forced to carry. He's shamed. He's being shamed. He's carrying a criminal's cross in his mind. But think about what's happening to him. He's carrying the cross of his Redeemer. He's touching the wood. His fingers and his face is getting covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that is poured out on the for him and for his salvation. He's touching the wood on which his salvation is being won. Had he known the privilege, perhaps he would have carried the cross differently. Perhaps he would have not needed to be forced. And isn't that like us, friends? And every trial, that's the cross of Jesus. We are being invited by God's divine providence to touch the wood upon which hung the Savior of the world. And in a spiritual sense, we're like Simon. You know, we are participating in the redemption of the world with Jesus. The key is we have to cooperate. We have to unite it to Jesus. That choice is ours. But there is never a cross or a suffering in life that God is surprised by, that he cannot work a great victory through. So a number of videos ago, I mentioned that every trial is ordered to a triumph. So if God allows something, it's a stepping block. At least it's ordered to be a stepping block, not a stumbling stone. It's there to elevate us up to deeper union with him and to glorify him and to draw us deeper into a relationship with him. But do we, in the words of St. Alphonsus, do you fight the cross or do you embrace the cross? That's the difference between the trial being a stepping stone or a stumbling block.
We must change our tastes in order to become saints. If we do not arrive at a state in which bitter appears sweet and sweet bitter, we shall never attain to a perfect union with God. In this consists all our security and perfection. In suffering with resignation all things that are contrary to our inclinations, as they happen to us day by day, whether they are small or great. And we must suffer them for those purposes for which the Lord desires that we should endure them, namely to purify ourselves from the sins we have committed, to merit eternal life, and to please God, which is the chief and most noble end at which we aim in all our actions. It reminds me a little bit of some conversations that we've been having more recently in our kitchen. And one was with one of our children. I can't exactly remember what happened, but I remember just saying something like, I don't think that's what a saint would do. And so I think if we can, you know, often align our actions or our responses or, you know, even the emotions that that we have with how we think a saint would respond to a situation, that would be better. So for example, the other day I went to reach something on a cupboard that was quite high in our kitchen. And when I reached it, the lid hit me right in the middle of the eyes. And I was kind of a little bit like Simon of Cyrene, like, oh, had I not been here at this time, this would have never happened. But then I was like, you know what? I'm so thankful that God gave me a nose. Because if I wouldn't have had a nose, it would have hit me in the eyes. And I can handle this. This will heal. And you know what? It's a little minor suffering that I can offer up.
St. Alphonsus says that we have to change our tastes in order to become saints. And a saint does see the world differently than the rest of the world sees the world. You know, we see suffering as opportunities to grow in sanctity, to bring win merit, to participate in redemption of the world, to please Jesus. The world doesn't see this. The world sees suffering as very inconvenient and we have to be avoided at all costs. And in fact, if suffering becomes too great, then we should end that person's suffering by ending their life. That's how insane the world lives. But we have to change our tastes. And so we should ask the Lord to change our tastes. What are we attracted to? Say, Lord, I give you this desire. Are you attracted to comfort? Well, we all are. We all find, you know, suffering a little bit displeasing to the human nature. But in our own life, we can ask God to transform our tastes.
It reminds me of something that you often say, like if it's cold outside, I'll be like, oh, it's so cold out here. It's like, oh, it's so refreshing. And then I have to remind, like, you know, there's just different things that we can do to just be like, yes, like this might not be comfortable, but there's good in it because if God has allowed it, it's because it's for our good in some way.
In some way.
And I know that's more difficult. Like we're making a little joke out of the weather, right? But some people are undergoing some incredible suffering. Some of you are living with chronic pain And like, I think like if I'm suffering with something for a little while, I start to feel like I'm going a little crazy, you know, like I need to alleviate this suffering. It is very hard to undergo suffering, especially if it's over a long period of time. So we're not making light of this, but we know that God is faithful and that he wants to offer his grace to us to get through it and to win grace for the world, really.
So here's the great consolation today, friends, is that we will never have to suffer more than what Jesus has already suffered for us. He's never going to ask us to do something that he hasn't already done for us. And so today we look on the cross and see how much Jesus suffered, how much he sorrowed. He gave his life to the point of death, death on the cross for us to save us from death. This is the great mystery. This is the great consolation for us as well. And so we find meaning in suffering because Jesus has put meaning into suffering now. So thank you for joining with us, friends. Please comment below, share with us what stood out to you and why. And we're going to link at the end of this video again, St. Alphonsus Liguori's 14 Stations of the Cross.
In union with Mary, our Queen, I will quench thy thirst.